Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Wearing a sport coat today because we have an important guest in the studio. Dr. Jacob Imam is our guest this hour. Next hour, Dr. Carla Broussard. That's a lot of brain power in 2 hours. You are welcome to call either hour, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Jacob Imam is a convert to the Catholic faith, graduated from Oxford University. That's over there in England. He was a Marshall Scholar, got his master's and doctorate over there with a dissertation in theology and economics. And what do you do with that? Well, you come back to the U.S. and you teach and you start a think tank and you start a college, and that's what he's been up to. The New Polity is the think tank that he is co-founder of, and he's the founder of the College of St. Joseph the Worker. Jacob Imam, thank you very much for being here with us.
Thanks so much.
I thought we'd talk a little bit about that because you started the College of St. Joseph the Worker, and there's a million things we can talk about with you. But we'll talk about trade work, basically, and the Catholic view of trade work. Mm-hmm. That sound all right with you?
This sounds great.
And you're willing to take calls?
Let's do it.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. Okay, so first of all, maybe just tell us what the College of St. Joseph the Worker does. It's different. It's like super different. It's not a trade school. It's not a trade school. So tell us about how it works.
Yeah, you know what? So when I was first coming to realize that I was going to be a professor one day, I was chatting with a good friend of mine who was working in an admissions office at a college in the South. And at some point, he just put his head in his hands and said, I don't think I can do this without a guilt-ridden conscience anymore. And what he meant by that was that he didn't think he could make a sales pitch to prospective students and their parents that college was something that was in itself worthwhile, that it was an advantageous path for a young person today, either on the side of the education that they were receiving, neither on the side of the financial path that it provided. And so when I was hearing this, I thought, gosh, I'm going to go off and participate in a institution that's going to make me feel as guilt-ridden as my buddy is.
Yeah.
That's not a great place to be. I got to think about this. And so then looking around at an alternative, there's of how to build a college that didn't, you know, betray the fundamental tenets of the Catholic faith, either on the side of its explicit teaching in the classroom nor on the implicit side of its business model. I was thinking, well, we could do something like just making a ginormous endowment, right? And then students, the whole thing runs off that, and students get to run off that as well.
Yeah, but you didn't win the lottery.
But there's a big problem with that, right? Namely, that you are almost ensuring that students remain in adolescence there. Instead of growing up, learning how to take responsibility of their life, learning how to work hard, giving them a real skill so that they can go off and be a good spouse and be a good parent one day. And that's when we started to look around. And one thing that caught our attention early on, almost right away, was the skilled trades. And, you know, for many reasons, but, you know, if it's good enough for God, I think it's good enough for us as a career path.
You mean that Jesus was employed in the trades?
That's right.
I gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
And then also you get paid to train in the skilled trade. So if I was going to break down the College of St. Joseph the Worker in a nutshell, I would say it's an extremely rigorous 4-year collegiate education that combines training to get your BA degree with training in the skilled trades. And because you get paid to train in the skilled trades, our students graduate debt-free instead of up to their eyeballs in debt, as almost everywhere else
so promises. When you get done at the College of St. Joseph the Worker, you have a bachelor's degree.
Mm-hmm.
You you're certified as in a trade.
That's correct.
And you have no debt.
That's correct.
So parents must just be in love with you.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, because all the parents are still paying off their student loans.
Right. There are many that are still paying off their student loans. Okay, so you mentioned that the Lord himself was a tradesman, and probably, I don't know, maybe till he was about 30. I mean, he had to pay the bills until he went on his mission. So what does that kind of mean, I guess? What I'm trying to get at is, because we want to have a conversation this hour about the trades. So what does it mean about the trades that, like, you're not just being flip when you say, if it was good enough for God, it's good enough for me. There's something more to it.
You know, there is, and I don't mean to be flippant about it. Precisely because what Jesus Christ does is reveal true humanity to us.
Right. Okay.
Okay, that necessitates, and this is a big statement, but it necessitates that we understand his choice of an occupation revealing something profound about our humanity. That there is something about carpentry that also enables us to reach the fulfillment of our humanity as well. And that's not to the exclusion of other career paths, but there's something that we do have to pay careful attention to. He didn't just choose one amongst many. Is equal to anything else. I mean, he did make a choice. And so it's important to think about that. And so without trying to get too theoretical or too philosophical about this, let's consider a couple things. First of all, God gave the gift of work to Adam prior to the fall, not after it. There's something about the gift of work that helps us fulfill our humanity, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can say very quickly, as a happy Catholic, that work, the reason why God gives us work, or one of the many reasons why God gives us work, is because that is the mode by which we obtain the moral virtues, St. Thomas Aquinas says, as opposed to the intellectual ones. So if you're talking about how to grow in patience, how to grow in temperance, how to grow in benevolence, how to grow in magnificence, how to grow in all the things that we identify in people as being Christ-like, then we do that in and through our activity. Our activity, what it does is it engraves our soul with a particular type of behavior. It's like an old typewriter. You mean see like a character on a typewriter, right? Where the paper is actually engraven with a mark that it didn't have before.
Right.
You know, and that's what the word character in Greek means. It's an engraven mark, right? Well, our activities do that. They engrave our soul with a particular disposition, which we call a virtue, or sadly, a vice, if you make a bad decision, if you make a bad action, right? It builds the habit, right? So when we see God giving Adam the gift of work prior to the fall, he's saying, look, there's ways to grow. There's ways to be engraven. There's ways to become uniquely you and to take your potentials and activate them and making you unlike anyone else. For those who don't do anything, I mean, you can see this even symbolically. Like, if you don't have an activity, you don't do anything, your body becomes blob-like, right?
Yeah.
Well, your soul mirrors that blob-like exterior, actually. I mean, it kind of sounds funny, and I don't mean to sound insulting.
But no, that reminds me, what's that Disney movie where there's some character just floats around in a chair, but you're forming yourself one way or another is what you're saying.
Right.
Either by activity or by inactivity, you are forming yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so when you find that that's a task of Adam, then we have to say, okay, why a gardener though? Like, why a farmer? Well, this is something that I just love to think about, because in the Greek tradition, you find philosophers saying things like servile work is degrading, that it's inimical to virtue. But they actually had in certain Greek city-states laws on the books forbidding citizens from engaging in manual labor. That you could not be in Sparta and be a carpenter and a citizen. That you could not be in Thebes and be a mason and a citizen. There was not one of these laws on the books in Athens, however. But there was such animosity towards those who did work with their hands that there did need to be a law in the book forbidding citizens for deriding one another for the means of their living. Isn't that interesting?
Right. So there's a kind of disposition in the non-Christian world, in the pre-Christian world, in the world outside of the patriarchs and Christ himself, that really we see it as degrading that we have to work.
I think that's right. The one exception that they kind of allowed for was farming. And the reason why Xenophon talks about this on his treatise on economics is that you don't change anything in farming. Like, you notice that the vine, like what you do, like the vine, like the natural world is almost like the master to you as the apprentice. You see the vine's trying to go up. So let's create some lattices so that it can go up. The cow's looking for some shade. Well, help it move to somewhere where it can get some shade, right? You're not changing things. You're catalyzing the natural processes in the ways that they want to go. Well, that's very fitting for Adam, right? Why? Yeah. Because he is still learning what this world is. He's not really engaging in transformative activity. He's not like taking the tree, chopping it down, and turning it into a table.
Right.
That's what Jesus Christ was doing.
Okay.
And so when you find this activity, like, why did Jesus choose carpentry? It was because he was engaged in a occupation that was more profoundly oriented at society building and world forming.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. By the way, 888-318-7884 is the number. Tomorrow we'll celebrate St. Joseph, the Feast of St. Joseph tomorrow. And we're talking about two things, really. The College of St. Joseph the Worker, now up and running in the state of Ohio and across the river in the state of West Virginia, but also trying to get at what is the proper Catholic way to think about work? What is the proper Catholic way to think about the trades, for example? If you want to get in on that conversation, we'd love to have that call, 888-318-7884. There is this, it strikes me as it's almost a desperation among the young men for someone to affirm them in their manhood. They're looking to people like Andrew Tate and all these kinds of podcasters and bloggers, and they want to fight one another. They want to get in the ring and fight each other and all this. But it seems to me that if someone were to teach them a trade, there's a natural affirmation of, now I'm not trying to just exclude this to men, but this is an obvious, like you can see, the young men often can't do anything. They can't build anything, fix anything. They don't know how to do those things.
Right, and it's emasculating to them. Because one of the things that we crave in our manhood is the ability to affect change. And you just can't, if you don't know how to handle a leak with your plumbing, then you feel helpless,
right?
That you cannot actually, you actually have not built yourself up enough to help even yourself, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's like you're still needing a mother.
Right.
Like somebody that came, and so the plumber comes in and he acts as your mother in a certain way. And I say why mother, because as a baby you come into this world completely
helpless.
That's
who takes care of you.
Right? That's who takes care of you, right? And at some point you just feel like I haven't even grown up. I am still needing to suck at my mother's breast, right? I can't handle this. And so there is this Andrew Tate phenomenon where people are saying, well, just get aggressive and things will get better. But things get better through a lot of hard work and endless repetition so that knowledge becomes skill and skill becomes habit. And you don't just work hard enough so that you can get it right, but you work so hard as to never get it wrong. And that's a place where we have kind of lost a lot of our efforts today as men.
Yeah, 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH, if you'd like to talk with Jacob Imam. This hour we're talking about the Catholic view of the trades, of trade work, of work in general. St. Joseph's feast tomorrow. And then, I mean, St. Joseph gets several feasts, and that, as it should be. Then St. Joseph the Worker, that feast, of course, is on May 1st. We'll talk a little bit. Maybe we'll, I'll just ask you about why that's on May 1st. I don't think many young people know why it's on May 1st, but maybe apropos of our times to talk about that. And we'll talk about whatever you want. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
Catechism in a Year with me, Father Mike Schmitz, is now available right here on Catholic Radio. Encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us, revealed in Scripture and passed down through the tradition of the Catholic faith, as we journey together toward our heavenly home.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jacob Imam, our guest, and you are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884. We're talking about work today, and if I'm kind of sussing out properly what you're saying, the person of Jesus Christ and the whole Judeo-Christian tradition glorifies manual labor in a way that no other tradition does.
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Absolutely.
And you're saying, and the philosophical understanding you give to that is, God gives us work as a gift so that we can better ourselves. We can become masters of something. We can learn the, you know, like even when you teach a kid to hammer something in, on the one hand, they're learning to use the hammer. But they're also learning a kind of about how you learn to do things. They're learning to use the hammer, but they're also learning this is how you get skills, and so they can go out and get other skills.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think when you look at that first charge of Eden, you know, to till and to keep, it's paired with another command, right? To have dominion and subdue the earth,
yeah.
Right? And it's like, well, if you don't actually have skills, by which you can't
you are
have
subdued.
Dominion. Yeah, yeah, you are getting subdued, man.
Right.
So that is definitely a true. And you know, you think about any tool that's in your hand, right? It's actually kind of an extension of your hand.
Yeah.
Right. And so you're incorporating part of the earth, so as to learn how to change it, how to change the earth itself. You know, and a lot of people, as you said, you know, in the ancient world, they derided trades. Like I like to say, you know, Aristotle, maybe the most famous person from Greece in history, said that the life of a tradesman was inimical to that of virtue. I mean, that's a big statement.
Yeah.
And then he who is virtue ends up being a tradesman. Jokes right. on Aristotle, right?
right.
Cicero said almost the exact same thing, that there's nothing.
He copied everything from Aristotle.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah. He said there's nothing respectable about a workshop, right?
And is that what he said?
Yeah,
really?
He said, yeah, and that the life of a craftsman is vulgar. So I always chuckle to myself that the Greeks hated work and the Romans hated work. And into the Greco-Roman world, the Word became flesh and spent most of the years of his life at a carpenter's bench.
Isn't that something?
And that Christ's own life was like political dynamite going out into the world. Because everybody thought, well, these guys were all slaves. And that's exactly what St. Paul says, that he literally came in the form of a slave.
Oh, yes, he did. Right, right. But you know, Jacob, something that, like, because we live, you know, 2,000 years after all of that, it's easy, it's very, very easy to just not ever have the insight that Christ changed everything by doing that. That, like, we go, oh, yeah, we honor workers and, you know, we have...
I don't think we do. We sell. We honor... We say every kid should go off to college.
Oh,
right?
Well, that's true, yeah.
And then we end up saying, oh, but if you're not good enough, you can go into the trades, right?
Oh,
we,
that's very unfortunate. Yeah,
yeah, and right. And we say things like, those who couldn't make it in anything else can at least use their body, right? I mean, it's like this is everywhere. This permeates. You want to use with... You work hard with your mind. Think smarter, not harder. I mean, so many of our different, you know, thoughts come into this. And so I think what is obvious, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but I don't think I am, is that the pagans once derided manual labor. Christ came and changed everything. And now that our nation is becoming more and more post-Christian, we have assumed the pagan disdain for the manual arts.
Yeah.
And that's where we are again. And that part of our conversion back to Christ is also going to be a conversion back to the simplicity of his vocation.
Again, there's a lot of people on the line now. Two lines open, 888-318-7884. You okay if we take some calls now?
Let's do it.
Well, let's start with Dan in Houston, Texas. Dan, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question for Jacob Imam.
Good afternoon, folks. It's I've heard of this college before, and it really caught my attention because I've been a machinist for 45 years, so it gives you an idea I'm getting kind of old at this point, but
really
I think it's
old.
Absolutely. It's very encouraging, and it makes me feel good because I've seen so many. I'm a machinist. I've seen so many machinists that just aren't up to par. They don't know what they should know. They don't have the soft skills that they should have. Mm-hmm. And I think through my whole life, and Catholic Answers way back in the what would it be like the 1980s or so with Carl Keating. Was instrumental in fueling my faith and getting me to the point where I am today, where I see such a deep integration between my faith and my trade.
Wow.
And I almost can't be as good a Catholic without my trade, or as good a tradesman without my faith. And I just see this as being so essential that I really hope your college takes off. I hope it gets to be bigger than UCLA in a few years, or, you know, because I think that especially with the current administration focusing on bringing manufacturing back to America, I think this is a golden opportunity to really put the faith out there in a very practical way and launch manufacturing in particular, because that's what I'm involved in, to make America what it should be. What manufacturing in general should be. And to that point, real quickly here, I don't want to burn a lot of time. There's a lot of people from other countries in the world, from other cultures, that have set up manufacturing companies here in the United States. And I will tell you, there is a profound difference between people from another religion or another culture setting up a manufacturing company here, or any kind of a trade, whether it's landscaping or plumbing or whatever, and as opposed to the Christian, a Catholic in particular, understanding of the human person. They're profoundly different.
Hang on, Dan. I don't want you to go anywhere. I want to get a response from Jacob Imam.
You know what, Dan? I think this is brilliant. One thing that I latched onto, at first you said that many machinists that you have come to know don't know what they should know. And I think this is a big problem in our society, just for what I was just saying, that we are saying to people, if you can't make it somewhere else, go into the trades. Well, that is so demoralizing to them. We don't say be aggressive. Be actually, if you're going to be the trade, take it by the bull by the horns and be the best that machinist that you could possibly be. That's on one side. The other, though, is that we go back and you look at Europe, right? And you see these medieval churches that are so beautiful. Well, that's what a society can look like if you send your brightest and your best into the trades, which is what they did. They were so enamored with the life of Christ, they said, I want to go off and do what the Lord, the incarnate God-man, did, right? I want to get back there. I want to build buildings again that inspire the faith and make people believe in God, because they were built by people who were inspired by what the God-man did.
What do you think of that, Dan?
Be careful there. You're putting tears in my eyes. I mean,
oh, God bless you.
Absolutely true. Absolutely right. Here we've got this technology and all this stuff in all the trade, and we could do so much more, and yet what do our churches look like? They look like pancakes.
Right.
You know? They're not half... No, there's a theology behind that. That is good. Such, I understand that. But for sheer beauty, you know, Romanesque and Gothic cathedrals and such, there's nothing that compares to that. And I think now's the time to move in that direction with the technology we have. Hmm. Boy, I think your trade school's an awesome idea.
It's really something. But when Notre Dame burned in Paris, it feels like that was a gut punch to not just to Catholics, but to secular people too. Something that is that well made and that beautiful, you just don't want to lose it. You don't ever want to lose it. And how many of our local parishes could we say, we just never want to lose that? A lot of people are like, that wouldn't be so bad if we lost that one. Dan, you're a good man. Thank you very much for the call. I'll tell you what, I want to send you a book. If you want one of the Catholic Answers books, hang on the line. We'll just get your information and send you whichever Catholic Answers book you want. Right back with more Jacob Imam and lots of calls on Catholic Answers Live. Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carla Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they're our allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. It's pretty hard to love Jesus and not love the trades because Jesus is a tradesman. That is a lot of phony things are said about Jesus. A lot of, you know, but one, that is not
like
phony.
What?
Well, you know, like
the people.
Oh, I thought you were going to make me justify that statement. Oh, man, I'm sweating there for a second. But I don't like the people that will say, oh, you know, Jesus, those years that are missing years, he went to India and studied. Not because I don't like India, but because I don't like the idea of taking away. No, he was a hardworking tradesman. That was an on-purpose thing. That's there was an intention about that in what he did. And it's changed the world. Let's go to Peter in Northridge, California, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Go ahead, Peter, with your question for Jacob Imam.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm calling to see if you have some advice for me. I'm just starting a carpenter's business, so I'm
doing congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, Lanchester, it's Star of the Sea Woodworking. And one thing I'm having difficulty with is, and you guys kind of touched on this problem in our current society where people don't really value the trades as it should be.
Right.
Presenting my work and quoting people, you know, I used to be a union carpenter, so the wage is, you know, a lot higher. But I'm trying to present this price to my clients. What's a good way to, I guess, educate but also increase the value of a mutual understanding of that value that the work holds?
What type of carpentry do you do?
So I'm right now I'm doing both rough carpentry and finished carpentry. I'm trying to get more into finished carpentry, but we'll see.
So, you know what, I think that a large part of when you're getting to sales and marketing, which is really what you're talking about, is actually being winsome, right? And inspiring what something could be. Because, look, we don't live in shipping containers for a reason. And if we do create a shipping container in your house, we do everything in our power to make it not look like a shipping container, right? We could just live in warehouses as humans. We choose not to because beauty is an integral part of our humanity. Like, we need it. We actually need it. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity. And so, and what is a home? A home is ultimately a shelter to be able to nurture a family into the life of self-giving. So, I mean, as much as you can lean into that without those philosophical terms, I think that's the better thing to do. Is that, look, this is, you could say, you know, what we're doing here is not just some necessity. What we're doing here is actually aiding your life, that you are inspiring what could be done so that you are not merely treating yourself like a machine, but you're treating yourself as somebody who, like all of us, need beauty. We need the inspiration. It's not a choice. God built us this way. We have to lean into that. So I think as much as you yourself are convicted of that truth, the better and the more that you're going to be able to be confident when you slide the number across the table and say, you know, I understand that this is a big, you know, this is a big job, but you could hardly spend it on anything better.
What do you think, Peter?
I think that's great. Yeah, I really appreciate that advice.
What did you I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry, Peter. I just want to know if you want to say the name of your business again. I didn't catch it when you first said it. In Northridge, California.
Yeah, it's Star of the Sea Woodworking.
Oh, what a good name. Star of the Sea Woodworking.
Yes. It's dedicated to Our Lady and specifically Star of the Sea.
Beautiful.
Maristella. Yeah. I actually have a friend that's going to your college and he's loving it. He went to my parish and he moved over there for the, I guess,
I'm so glad. That is great. Great to hear. I think I have an idea who that must be too.
Very good. Very good.
Well, God bless you in your new endeavor with the business. All the blessings to you, Peter. Thank you for the call.
God bless you guys too.
I want to give you a Catholic Answers book too, if you want one. Hang on and tell John. John's on the phones today, and we'll get a book out to you just to say thanks for the call. If you'd like one, Peter. Let's go to Cottonwood, Idaho. Jim is in Cottonwood. Hi, Jim.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Really good.
Definitely speaking. Well, I love what you're doing out there in Ohio and West Virginia, because we are lacking just abysmally, and I don't care what the trade is. I personally do custom cabinets, doors, and molding.
Awesome.
And we cannot find confident young men. I can't even find men who come in with any sense of confidence or of who they want to be or who they think they can be. And it can be very frustrating. I will say this, the two best ones I have had, you're going to love this. They were awesome. They're both going to the seminary. So I've told my bishop, if you want seminarians, give them to me, okay?
Yeah, so but your experience of young men is that they don't have confidence or they don't have skill or all of these things? Or what?
All of the above. All of the above. You know, skill, confidence, Any idea of going back, you guys mentioned about, you know, how do you fix leaks? I mean, these are, and I'll give you a great example of this. When my wife and I lived in, we lived in Seattle for a while, and it was funny.
Glad you
all
made
of
it
our
out.
Friends would always, yeah, so am I. They would, well, although we had great Catholic families.
I grew up there.
Oh, okay. Well, our faith flourished there because of the associations we had. But
good.
I was the go-to guy. Can you come fix this? Can you do that? Can you? And it was pretty funny. My son-in-law, who's actually taking over my business the other day, was commenting to my daughter was commenting to my wife, everybody calls Dave to fix it. And that's where we're at today. Mm. We don't have men who, I guess, and it comes down to common sense. I don't know. It's like I said, it's like the two best ones I've had, both going to the seminary now.
You know, let me just jump on that for real quick. So first of all, if you do want to be a partner, if you're a craftsman listening to this, you know, speaking to you indirectly, is that get in touch with us. Send us an email at info@collegeofstjoseph.com, and we'll evaluate you to put you on our Craftsman Network, and we can send you some of our students who live in Idaho for summer work or as they graduate. So if you're interested in that, please get in touch with us. Second of all, you said that we might not have any common sense. You know, if you think about what common sense is, it's things that are common to our senses, that we all have access to feeling, to touching, to smelling, to getting to know, right? Well, the more that we're on our computers, the more that we're on our phones,
the less common sense we'll have.
Is the less those things aren't common. Those are just yours, right? If you're not dealing with common materials and the actual earth, the ground that we came from, then we're not going to have the sensitivities and the intellectual sensitivities to the real nature of the world itself. It's like we're trying to be Jesus the carpenter before we were Adam the farmer. That's a big problem.
Jim, I want to ask you a question real quick, because I know that there are young men who would love to have these skills. They don't have these skills. And in my experience, a young man that goes to a builder or a tradesman of some kind and says that, I don't have any skills, how do I get them? They usually get a very enthusiastic response. Usually tradesmen are very happy to help, to train, to find someone who will. So what happens if a young person comes to you and says, look, I want to work, I want to know how to do what you do, but I don't know how to do anything. I can't drive a nail. What do you say to that person?
So the first thing I do with a young man that comes into my shop and they want that, I ask them to clean my shop and I see how good of a job they do.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see how good of a job they do. And if they're meticulous enough to clean that shop, to simply care about what you're doing. And I don't care if it's sweeping the shop or driving a nail. Well, we do very intricate woodworking. We do a lot of curve moldings and stuff. And when they see that, they say, I want to learn how to do that. Okay, then do me a favor, sweep my floor, would you? And I know that sounds maybe hard, but I found the best employees I've had were the ones that took the time to clean the shop the way I would clean it. And I didn't have to tell them how to do that. And I learned that lesson because that's what somebody did to me. I went to work for a contractor. I wanted to learn how to be a framing carpenter. You know, the first thing he had me do was wash his car.
Oh, yeah?
And I made sure nobody had ever washed that car that good.
Ah, yeah. Wise, very wise words. Yeah. Jim, thank you. I'm sorry. We're coming right to the break, but I'm very grateful for the call. Hang on. I want to send you a book as well. I'm book crazy today. we'll send it out. Jacob Imam is our guest. He is one of the founders of New Polity. Where can they go online to find New Polity?
NewPolity.com. Make it easy.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
It's not as good as Catholic.com.
No, that's true. Nothing is. Yeah. Jacob, but also the founder of the College of St. Joseph the Worker, an exciting new effort to graduate students who have both a bachelor's degree and technical training certification even. Right? They'll be certified as as a carpenter, HVAC person, plumber,
All three.
Oh, all of those.
Yeah.
All
the above. Yeah. So you choose a track on carpentry, HVAC, plumbing, or electrical.
And okay.
You'll work your way towards your journeyman status along the way.
Be careful which ones you let near the electricity.
You have to, we'll talk about that after the break.
All right, we'll take a quick break, right back with Jacob Eamon right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Miss the world over? You'll miss a lot.
At the top of the new year, Pope Francis made a surprise appointment when he named San Diego Cardinal Robert McElroy as the next Archbishop of Washington, D.C. McElroy is an avowed progressive in the church. And how will McElroy's appointment interact with the second Trump administration?
Find that out and more Thursday night, 8 Eastern on The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, only on EWTN Television and Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jacob Eamon is our guest, and you are welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. I'm going to go back to the phones shortly. Jacob Eamon, his doctorate is in theology and economics. You really should check out New Polity. They're doing fantastic work over there. But also, if you're thinking about getting educated, if it's that time of life for you, consider the College of St. Joseph the Worker, a brand new college. It's on two sides of the river. One side's in Ohio, one side's in West Virginia. And when you graduate from there, you will have your bachelor's degree, but you will also have two other things that will be very valuable to you, trades certifications and no debt. Check out. I feel like that last one, people are like slamming on the brakes in the car. Get that up on the phone. We need to see College of St. Joseph the Worker. Before I go back to the calls, again, 888-318-7884. I want to let you know that Joe's book, I've said Joe's book. I don't know. The Eucharist is Really Jesus is one of the five books that's on sale. Why We're Catholic. The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. A brilliant book called A Teacher of Strange Things, Who Jesus Was, What He Taught, and Why People Still Follow Him. And also The Bible is a Catholic Book. We're calling those, I forget what we're calling, The Faithful Five. That's what Carrie called them, The Faithful Five. Right now, just $10 a copy for each of those. Buy 10 copies of A Teacher of Strange Things. You won't be sorry that you did. 888-318-7884 is the number. Try to guess who wrote that one.
Yeah, yeah. That's tough.
Granger in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Granger, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Jacob Eamon.
Hello, Jacob.
Hey there.
I have a question and I guess a shout out for the trade I'm involved in for land surveying. And I just don't think a lot of people think about it or know about it. And it's like every other trade, we're looking for anybody we can get, and it's a very fulfilling job, and I guess just to, there's people listening that are looking for a career to get into. It's kind of a trade, and it's a similar path to a professional licensure as you go through about 6 years and take tests and everything. So,
yeah, that's a tough trade too. And also, a good bit of fun, I would say. You get
there's a lot of outdoors, yeah. Granger. Are you outside a lot?
Oh, yeah. Everything's, in the field. There's drawing, drafting as well, of what you find boundary wise.
It's a good mix between outdoors and sophisticated, real intellectual,
it is,
activity.
Even historical. We're looking at all the plats, the original even government plats from 1850s out here, 1860s, and could be older the farther east you go. And
few better historians than surveyors.
Cranger?
Yeah.
Got it. All right. So this is a good advertisement for being a surveyor, which I appreciate tradespeople. They when especially trades where there's a shortage, they want people to know, come and do this. This is great. Like it's a very wonderful thing about the trades. But you had a question too that you wanted to get to, or did you not?
So yeah. The question is, as I've been doing this for about 10 years, is kind of like anything. What I do, I try to. What's God saying? Why is God allowing this? And that seems like what you guys are talking about, the theological significance of who we are and who God is. So land surveying is just all throughout the Bible.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you have thought of that, like God divided up all the land for all the different tribes. Mm-hmm. That's, I'm sure, unique to versus just the king owning everything. And it's squares just like the U.S. and at least rectangle shapes. And then even New Jerusalem in Revelation is a survey. John has to survey out this giant just...
That's a good point.
It's about a 12,000-mile square of the new heaven, New Jerusalem. And there's also, I think, Ezekiel does a little... cross section of a river, a stream that gets larger and larger. Obviously, the typology there of the site of Christ later. But I just didn't know if you had run across anything or if there's anything deeper on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So take a look at Leviticus 25. Leviticus is the most underappreciated book in the canon, I think. There you have the descriptions of the year of Jubilee, which is when people who would find themselves in a difficult situation began to sell their property to somebody else, and then at that year it would be restored to them. Okay, so if, say, I am a happy farmer, but for whatever reason I get out from under myself and I have to start selling my land, I'm going to do that first to my nearest kin, who then is going to buy it from me, and I'm going to have some funds to be able to go and provide for my family. But at the end of the Jubilee period, he has to give me that land back. Well, it's so interesting and very multifaceted. It's all contingent upon the land that's being surveyed that comes a few books later in Joshua, right? Starting in chapter 13. So you're absolutely right, but so there is this incredible, and we're in the year of Jubilee now, that there's this incredible understanding that when we fall into a position of economic difficulties, that there is an economy that is more grounded on reality and more grounded on the land. And I think part of the reason why sacred scripture does this is so that we have clearly in our minds that God is an active part of the economy. He claims that the land is his, right? And so when we're thinking about the basics of any economic system, you're talking about food coming from the land, you're talking about shelter coming from the land, and then you're talking about clothing coming from the animals usually, right? And between those three aspects of the economy, we have a more direct vision of God actively providing for us. And this is part of the way in which the sacred scriptures manifest that to us. I think today in our economy, which is totally a cash nexus that is overly monetized, we don't realize that the grounding of our economy begins from the land and works from there. Anyways, much longer conversations. Go take a look at newpolity.com for actually quite a lot on that subject.
What a great call and conversation, Granger. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That was, I will definitely check out the website. That was really interesting.
Well, hang on. We'll send you a book as well. I don't want to give everybody a book and then you have that great conversation with you and not give you a book. The number here is 888-318-7884. We can take one more call if somebody wants to call and talk with Jacob Imam, the founder of the College of St. Joseph, the Worker Tomorrow, the Feast of St. Joseph. St. Joseph, it does seem to me that St. Joseph is beloved far more in the modern era than he ever was in any earlier era of the church.
Yeah.
And that there's got to be a reason for that. And the only two reasons I can think of is, one, fatherhood is so profoundly damaged mm-hmm. in the modern era. Mm-hmm. We need this father figure, mm-hmm. St. Joseph. Mm-hmm. And the other, there's something about him as this laborer, as this person who's connected to real things that's really helpful as an intercessor for people who are lost and confused because we're not connected to real things mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. Because medieval people wouldn't have had the devotion we have to St. Joseph. He's just blossomed in the modern time.
That's right. And it's certainly, as we've seen, particularly the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, obviously arising in a post-industrial world in which we just feel like we're all cogs in a machine that don't have the ability to breathe our creative capacity into our work. Right. We're just doing something that we feel like anybody could do, right? We don't feel uniquely called to what we've done. I think the most extreme of this is Crocs food production at McDonald's or Ford's car production on the assembly line.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, but part of being human, properly being raised up in the good work, moving, as Jim was saying on one of our previous callers, from cleaning the shop to actually doing the very sophisticated rounded molding is time that you're developing and honing in your skills. You can't just get in one day and start doing that, you know, artisanal molding. You actually have to develop that through time. And creativity is not something that you're just born with. I hate this about our modern world. We just think that creativity is something that you're born with, as if like Einstein's creativity in mathematics was equally something innate as was his crazy hair or something like that. You know, is that creativity is merely a byproduct for immense amount of practice, and that's something that we are not readily able to even do, right?
Well, we call Joseph Mary's most chaste spouse. Mm-hmm. He's this man who is lauded down the centuries for his chastity, his virtue. Is that related to his workshop? Do you see what I'm saying?
I think that marriage and work go hand in hand, right? I mean, that's part of the reason why the call to till and the keep is next to the command to be fruitful and multiply. Right. I think that there's something also about think about the Shakespearean cuckold. Right. This is the guy that doesn't know whether or not the children that he's raising are his own. Like, does he even matter is his question. And this is what leads him to an exceedingly anxious life. Well, if you're in a job where you don't think that you really matter, that you are just a cog in a machine, then you are also anxiety ridden. I think this is a big reason why we have such a depression problem in America. One of the many reasons is that we don't find that we really matter in our roles, that we're easily replaceable. At the end of the day, we get up from our desk or get up from our computer and say, what did I even do?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's a big thing. We all feel cuckolded.
Yeah, we need that. We need that work. Mm-hmm. To ground us in that we do matter, and that when that work is like making something, building something. Mm-hmm. Like I never knew until my brother is a general contractor. Watching him work, I realized you think if you don't know anything about general contracting, you don't think it's a creative job. You think you're reading plans and you're, you know, it's like putting Tinker Toys together or something. It's constant creativity. It's constant problem solving. It's constant. How do we work around this to get that? How do we just an endless number of problems to be solved, which I think is fun in a certain sense. I think a lot of guys find that really fun.
Oh, of course they do.
But it also, that's a great sense of purpose.
Oh, no kidding. And even look, again, we praise the architect and we praise the engineer today. We don't praise the general contractor. And yet you talk to any architect that you know, without exception, you talk to almost any engineer that you know, without exception, if they're honest, they'll tell you the guys that are actually building my stuff are constantly telling me why I did it wrong.
Yeah,
like why my numbers are wrong or why I can't place this pillar here or there. It's like, okay, who should be designing this? And this is actually why you look at an architect, like the word, right, the architecton, right, in Greek, is that it literally means the lead builder.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, because he actually knows all the trades. He's actually engaged in all the trades. He's gotten to know them physically, experientially, with his hands. And so what knowledge is better, the theoretical or the experienced one? Well, actually, let's combine both. That is when we get back to the master builder.
And that's what they're trying to do. And they'd be happy to take your call or get your email or have you check out their website of the College of St. Joseph the Worker. Extraordinary new effort. And its founder has been our guest, Dr. Jacob Imam. Dr. Imam, thank you. It's always a great pleasure to talk with you.
Thanks so much, sir.
He had to talk to me a lot. We're going to put some stuff out on the internet later. We talked earlier, but I really do hope folks will check out the College of St. Joseph the Worker. This is a game changer, and it's just in its infancy today, but soon it'll be up and walking, and you'll say, oh, I knew about it when. All right, coming up, Carlo's going to be here, Dr. Carlo Broussard. Ask him whatever you want right after this on Catholic Answers Live.